Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
It is hard to name the unnameable. The Holy Spirit, that presence of God that is not quite creator, not quite the person of Jesus we can imagine walking around, that otherness of God, that tingly hair lifting on the back of your neck-ness of God. Hard to talk about that which defies language. And so I notice that when we do, we choose some really curious images to talk about the Holy Spirit. We talk about God's Spirit working in us in wind and water, especially through baptism, and flame. Now, those are some good images. They all convey that sense of power and of life-givingness, of uncontrollableness, of something beyond our control. But they're hardly reassuring images. I've got a friend who's even weirded out a little bit by the image of the dove kind of like hovering menacingly above people's heads. Like, what's it gonna do? And the description of Pentecost is one that hardly reassures us. A sound like a great rush of wind and then flames going every which way and they're settling on people. I don't really want a flame to settle on me. People speaking in all kinds of different languages, maybe they're actual languages, but maybe some of them are not. Mass chaos. Very bizarre. Very, very strange, this work of God. Why is it that when describing the Spirit's work in our lives, we use such metaphors? Forces beyond our control that are necessary for life, but at the same time can be dangerous and even deadly. Wind and water and flame. They say that the ability to control fire was one of the foundations of civilization, what takes us beyond being animal and into being human, being community. To be able to control that aspect of our environment, to make it warm when it needs to be warm and light when it needs to be light. And we who live in the frigid north know the importance of warmth and fire for life itself. And yet, we also know, we particularly know, the destruction of uncontrolled fire. Uncontained, unconfined, it is dangerous, it is destructive, it is deadly. Water, that gift we recognize in the Spirit in baptism, poured out upon us God's love as signified by water. Necessary for the life of every living thing on this planet. Not just water without which we die, but potable, clean, drinkable water, which residents of Lebanon were reminded recently, is not something to be taken for granted every time we turn on the tap, but like so much of the rest of the world in their day-to-day lives, we were reminded recently that drinkable water is a gift, a precious resource, something to be cherished and to be saved and to be careful to use well. But water can just as easily overwhelm with storms and floods, with storms with names like Irene, or even with the slow persistence of ice jams, melting and freezing and melting and freezing and leaking in and chipping away at what we so carefully rebuilt after it was destroyed by fire, and now there's the water. Wind. That breath of God upon the waters of creation. That kiss of soft air, that breeze from the fan when the pastor is preaching and gets too warm up here. The wind that drives clouds and currents, seasonal changes, and allows for pollination. Or a gale force, hurricane force, tornado force, wind that blows ships off course and topples trees and levels buildings, that twists and tears communities apart. When there are raging forest fires, when there are massive floods, when there are storms and winds that damage and destroy, we call these sometimes acts of God. Not exactly a loving, fluffy, warm image of God. Sometimes, indeed, God is all-consuming, overwhelming, twisting, and toppling our lives. In the Chronicles of Narnia, a series with which I have a complicated relationship, but it has some good points. In the Chronicles of Narnia, God is imagined in a simile as a lion, right? A lion named Aslan. And the children who've entered Narnia through the wardrobe, right, and are talking to the other creatures that live in Narnia, one of the children learns that Aslan, who is their protector, their leader, their ruler, is also a lion. And she says, "Oh, is Aslan quite safe? I should be rather afraid to be around a lion." And the creatures of Narnia to whom she's talking say, "Who said anything about safe? Aslan is a lion. Of course he isn't safe, but he's good." God isn't safe. The spirit isn't safe. And when we make the choice or the commitment or the decision to live into the life that God is calling us to, it does not come with a promise that we will be safe. It does not come with a promise that it will be without pain or loss or struggle. Because life in the spirit is about transformation, and all transformation is about change, and all change is loss. Transformation is never without fear and discomfort. The Spirit does, can, should, better make us uncomfortable. And so our language for it reflects that. I have a friend on Facebook who said this week, getting ready for Pentecost, "How come all the songs about the Holy Spirit are set to such lovely, gentle tunes? We just sang one. Spirit. Spirit of gentleness. Even when we're asking the Spirit to stir us from placidness, we do it so gently." She said, "Where are the songs about the Holy Spirit set to 'We Will Rock You'?" Buddy, you're complacent, sitting there doing that. When Jesus says you got to live your faith out loud, there's no smile on your face. Big disgrace. Spirit gonna shake it up in this place. Singing, "Holy, Holy Spirit. Holy, Holy Spirit." So I don't have your last pastor's gift for writing new lyrics and song. It's a work in progress. God shakes us up. Sometimes, yes, the Spirit is that soft breath of wind. Sometimes the Spirit is the warm glow of a campfire, that refreshing drink of water. And sometimes the Spirit is the howling whirlwind, the raging blaze of forest fire, the churning, uncontained, overwhelming flood. So then what? How are we to stand? I was in a group of clergy last couple week and a half ago, tending the fire, something both Verge and Jill did. So I'm sure you've all heard all about tending the fire, but you'll keep hearing all about tending the fire. It's a great continuing education and formation event that we continue to learn together about how churches work and how we work. And we were talking about, what is a Spirit-led church then? What does it look like? How would you know when you have a Spirit-led church? We decided it is kind of like the definition of art, and you know it when you see it. But what are the marks of a Spirit-led church? And I said, well, I think there has to be a little chaos. Because listen to what the Holy Spirit is like. There has to be a little chaos. But what's different about a Spirit-led church, because chaos can exist anywhere and everywhere and usually does, is that there is a peace amid the chaos. There's a sense of grounding, of purpose and connection, of a firm ground on which to stand as the storms of life rage around, the storms sometimes of the Spirit rage around. Today is also Aldersgate Day, the day we celebrate John Wesley, founder of United Methodism's conversion, or this moment when he has a heartwarming experience, this sort of moment of fire, right? Moment of being warmed. But Wesley had another conversion experience that happened when he was on board a ship with a group of people of the faith called Moravians. And there was a storm at sea in the midst of their travels, and Wesley marveled at how these people of faith were able to be calm in the midst of this chaos, were able to hold fast in the midst of the literal storm that was raging around them. How can we be at peace in the midst of such fear and chaos if not by an indwelling of the Holy Spirit? A Spirit-led person, a Spirit-led church is not one who is, as the saying goes, at peace with all things in life, but one who is in the midst of chaos, the chaos sometimes caused by living the life of the Spirit, and is at peace in their own heart. And so we are pried from complacency and placidness, shaken up and rocked by the Holy Spirit. And we are held and borne by that same Spirit, carried in the midst of the chaos, grounded amid the raging wind and water and flame. May we be shaken but not shattered, unsettled but not uprooted, alight but not consumed. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.